Well, as we now come to our sermon this morning, and the title is Ever Had a Family Crisis? So it's a personal question for us this morning. Have you ever had a family crisis? And our Bible reading is taken from 2 Samuel chapter 13, and we're going to be reading from verses 20 to 23. And I'm going to be reading from Eugene Peterson's Message paraphrase of the Bible. And it reads like this. Her brother Absalom said to her, "Has your brother Amnon had his way with you? Now, my dear sister, let's keep it quiet. A family matter. He is, after all, your brother. Don't take this so hard." Tamar lived in her brother Absalom's home, bitter and desolate. King David heard the whole story and was enraged, but he didn't discipline Amnon. David doted on him because he was his firstborn. Absalom quit speaking to Amnon, not a word, whether good or bad, because he hated him for violating his sister. And then just a few words from verse number 23. 2 years went by. 2 years went by. On the 12th of February, 1993, three sets of families from the Merseyside area were unexpectedly launched into the spotlight. Unfortunately, it was for all the wrong reasons. When a 2-year-old boy, after being separated from his mother who was out shopping, was subsequently abducted and brutally murdered by 2 10-year-old boys, resulting in one family having to deal with the painstaking reality that their two-year-old boy's life was prematurely ended in cold-blooded murder. And then, on the other hand, you had the families of the two boys who perpetrated the murder. And the questions that ensued, not just from the parents, but from people all over the nation, of why and how and what would cause 2 10-year-old boys to commit such a heinous and a devastating act of violence. And friends, these questions of why and how and what, in some form or fashion, have been either silently asked in the mind or audibly raised amongst families, relationships, and friendships for centuries on end, whether the issue has been a catastrophic one, like the ending of a 2-year-old boy's life that was prematurely taken, or even down to some of those everyday issues that niggle and chip away amongst families and friendships, that if left unchecked and unaddressed, they can ultimately cause detrimental damage, causing family rifts and marital breakdowns. So my question today, friends, is simply put, have you ever had a family crisis? Have you ever had what was once a fruitful friendship now broken to the point where you are no longer on speaking terms? And friends, if King David were alive today and listening into our service, I believe David would be first in line to answer the question this morning. And I believe David's answer would be a resounding yes. Yes, I know what it's like to go through a family crisis. I know what it's like to be heartbroken by catastrophic events caused by those nearest and dearest to me amongst my own family. Because church, I know that you've read about David's life. I know you've heard all about David's moments of grandeur and success. That when an uncircumcised Philistine giant from the Philistine camp, Goliath, who stood to defy the armies of the living God, I know you've read about David's courage and his faith to defeat Goliath with some smooth stones and in the name of the Lord. And oh yes, I know you've read about David's rule and his reign as king over Israel, how he was able to unify the house of Israel as their second king, overcoming the threats of foreign armies and invasions, dealing with the threat of a jealous king, Saul, who was trying to take David's life on countless occasions. And I know you've heard about the anointing of God on David's life that set him apart, that now future generations around the world, they know David to be a man after God's own heart. However, despite David's vocational success, despite his military success, and despite all of the gifts and the talents that God had blessed him with, I believe if David was here today, there's one area where perhaps David struggled to get right in his life. And that area, church, was in the department of his family. You see, David was able to lead Israel for the most part successfully. David was able to do great exploits from a military perspective for Israel. But David greatly struggled with ruling and providing sound leadership within his own household. A problem that many of men throughout the ages have struggled with, and even continues to be a problem today. Perhaps why the Apostle Paul, in writing to Timothy, he would pen that when you choose overseers for the church to provide leadership for, he says that an overseer must manage his own household well and keep his children under control with complete dignity. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how can he care for the church of God? And friends, that demarcation, whether it be a career, a vocation, ministry, sometimes if we're not careful, then the focus can be solely geared towards being successful on the job without equally investing adequate time to develop a healthy family. And church, without question, we see this here in this devastating biblical account before us today. A family crisis in full view. For it was possibly just a few years after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba and the concoction of a plan to execute her husband, David's family was about to experience an all-time low. And yes, even after David and Bathsheba were still coming to terms and dealing with the traumatic loss of their new baby, in 2 Samuel chapter 12, when perhaps they were looking forward to a new chapter in their family lives with the added blessing of another new baby who would be named Solomon. But now, in chapter 13, church, David's family life was about to be dealt a severe blow. A family crisis that would wreak havoc amongst the house of David. Because the Bible lets us know that Amnon, the firstborn son of David, after lustfully falling into infatuation with his own sister Tamar and being egged on and encouraged by his cousin Jonadab, he would ultimately go on to force himself on his own sister, and he raped her. A detestable and a deplorable act perpetrated by a lustful brother. And that took place all under the house and the nose of David. And after committing such a dreadful act against his own sister, the Bible lets us know, church, that that lust then changed into an immense hatred for Tamar. So much so that he banished her from the house and he told her to get out. And church, do you see here the gradual shifting of the gears? A pot of boiling water boiling out of control. From sexual fantasy and lust to a concocted plan and help from his cousin Jonadab, and then leading to the subsequent rape, leaving Tamar physically and emotionally scarred. Now, God forbid anything like this has ever happened in your family. But the reality, church, of every family unit is that at various levels, each family sometimes are dealt with unexpected blows. Whether it be the loss of a loved one, whether it be dealing with hurtful words said by a loved one, whether it be financial disagreements or issues with a teenage son or daughter or grandchild. The reality of every human family is that families are made of imperfect people. Friendships are made of imperfect people. And sometimes the hurt that is caused within the family unit or the friendship can have a major impact on our lives and our happiness. So what do you do? If you are facing a family crisis, what do you do if issues amongst your own family and friendships are escalating out of control? Well, I don't have all the answers, but allow me to bring just three brief points from God's word here that may help us to address and start the process of dealing with a crisis in the family or friendship. And the first point I see here in the text from this painful story is, number one, that we must avoid sweeping family troubles under the carpet. Avoid sweeping family troubles under the carpet. And the same can be said of platonic friendships. You see, after the devastating rape of Tamar, despite Amnon banishing her from the home, it didn't take long for other members of the family to learn of what took place. And the first member of the family to learn of Tamar's rape was her brother, Absalom. But look what Absalom had to say about this in verse 20. Her brother Absalom said to her, "Has your brother Amnon had his way with you? Now, my dear sister, let's keep it quiet. A family matter. He is, after all, your brother. Don't take this so hard." In other words, what Absalom is saying here is, let's just sweep it under the carpet. Forget about it and move on. It's a family matter. We've got to keep this on the hush-hush. And it doesn't stop here, church, because not only does Absalom, the brother, suggest that the issue should be kept quiet and not be dealt with, but in verse number 21, we see here that David, her own father, does exactly the same thing. Look what it says here in verse 21. King David, he heard the whole story and he was enraged, but he did not discipline Amnon. David doted on him because he was his firstborn. So we have here, church, Absalom, the brother, saying nothing. And now David, the father, he says and he does nothing about the issue. And friends, I want to suggest this morning that we have to be careful of just sweeping issues and problems under the carpet. Because what will ultimately happen is the issues will fester and they will grow. And the room may appear to be tidy and clean from the outside. It may appear functional and in order from the outside. But when you begin to remove the bed and check under the bed, then you will see those grimy issues that have been put to the back burner slowly growing out of control. So my first challenge to you this morning is this. Are there any issues within your family or even your friendships that have been swept under the carpet? Issues that are still causing problems today because they weren't dealt with. Someone once remarked, "My maid never sweeps under the bed." So I asked her to do so today. Found a pen, 3 pairs of shoes, and the man I had lost 2 years ago. What's laying under your bed, undealt with, still festering in the background? So in dealing with a family crisis or friendship issues, number one, we have to avoid sweeping things under the carpet. But secondly, we have to commit to dealing with difficult issues. Commit to dealing with difficult issues. Now, this is not an easy thing to do, not at all. And depending on the nature and the severity of the issue, it will often make dealing with the problem more difficult. But it's clear to see from this story, in 2 Samuel chapter 13, that what Absalom and David failed to do was to address and deal with the issue on hand. And yes, of course, the issue was traumatic and deeply troubling for Tamar and the family. But by turning the blind eye to the problem, it will not make the issue and the problem go away. And the hurt, the frustration, the anger, and the subsequent hate that were now ripping through the family unit, causing a real sense of bitterness and desolation amongst the family. And notably, Absalom, who the Bible lets us know had stopped speaking to his brother Amnon. Not a single word, whether good or bad. As far as he was concerned, he wanted nothing to do with his brother. And you know, church, another alarming point here in this story and the text is that after the devastating rape occurred, and after David and Absalom were in receipt of what Amnon had done to his sister, there is no mention or inclusion of God in the situation. And church, with such issues amongst the family that are traumatic and devastating, and even down to those small, minute issues, niggling away at relationships and friendships, it's so important that we turn to God and include God and seek his guidance when attempting to deal and address those challenging situations. There was no recognition of, you know what, this issue is beyond my human capability. I need the power of God to intervene in the situation. I need God to move amongst my family. I need God to intercede in my marriage. I need God to move in my children's lives. I need God to restore and to revive my friendship. God, I need you. And oh, I just wonder if things could have turned out for the better if God was included in the situation. That's why the old hymn writer of old put it this way, that oh, what peace we often forfeit, and oh, what needless pains we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. So the second challenge for us this morning is in our commitment to dealing with the issues in our families and our friendships, let us not forget to seek God, for he is able to carry our burdens and he is able to provide us a solution to the issue. And he's able to give us strength to cope and to deal with those problems that can be so challenging to bear on our own. And that leads me to the third and the final point this morning. Because without God being sought in prayer for guidance in the situation, and because nothing was done to deal with Tamar's rape, because everything was swept under the carpet, the future was now adversely affected for the family of David. And that's why, church, in dealing with challenging issues in the family and friendships, you have to avoid sweeping the issues under the carpet. You have to commit to dealing with the problem and including God in the process. But third and finally, there must be a plan for the future. A plan for the future. Look what it says here at the start of verse 23. It says, 2 years went by. 2 years went by. And I ask you a question. If you are experiencing problems in your family or amongst your friendships, what or how do you believe things will improve or change in 2 years' time? Do you expect things to be better or worse? And unfortunately for David's family, after 2 years had transpired since the rape of Tamar by Amnon, things had now spiraled completely out of control. Because as there was no addressing of the situation or even an attempt to deal with the problem, the discontent and the hate grew worse and worse in Absalom's heart. He could no longer bear to see his brother get away with what he had inflicted on his sister. So he decided after 2 years to take matters into his own hands. Perhaps he's thinking, church, you know, since my own father, David, is doing nothing about it, I'll take matters into my own hands. So he drafted a plan. He invited his brother for a lavish banquet. It was fit for a king. And after supplying a generous amount of food and wine to Amnon, when his heart and his mood was merry and relaxed, and the alcohol in the system had now set in, Absalom commanded his servants to strike and to kill him right at the table. What a sad, sad family crisis. King David's family was now completely in chaos. David still perhaps coming to terms with his own guilt, the adultery and murder of Bathsheba's husband, and then dealing with the loss of a newborn baby, and then having to cope with the fact that his own son had raped his daughter. But 2 years later, now David has to deal with the loss and murder of his own son. Amnon is now dead. And in closing this morning, do you see how family issues and even issues amongst friendships, that if they are allowed to be swept under the carpet, if they are allowed to fester and grow out of control, then instead of things looking brighter in the future, without any resolution, those issues chipping away, undealt with, can grow and grow and grow. And now those problems can spiral out of control. So I encourage you today, friends, maybe you are listening to this sermon and you're saying, well, Nathan, everything is rosy in my family. All my friendships are peaceful. I'm content in my relationships. And that's great. To God be the glory. But may I encourage you to put this sermon on ice, just in case issues arise in your family or friendships in the future. And may I encourage you again to, number one, avoid sweeping issues in the family or friendships. Avoid sweeping them under the carpet. Number two, commit to dealing with the problem and the issues and include God in the process. He will help us and lead us in the right direction. But third and finally, we've got a plan for the future. In other words, in addressing the issue now, in dealing with the difficult situation now, and in having those difficult conversations now, then things can improve in the future. And maybe family life for you has been a history of pain and turmoil. Maybe you're saying, Nathan, you don't understand the issues in my family. They're beyond fixing. And that may be true. But I encourage you this morning that there's another family, a family that's been born again. And if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've given your life to him, then you are now part of the family of God. An old hymn writer put it this way, that we are a part of the family whose love knows no end. For Jesus has saved us and he has made us his own. Now we're part of the family that's on its way home. Sometimes we laugh together. Sometimes we cry. Sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs. Sometimes we dream together of how it will be. But when we all get to heaven, God's family. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you so much that we are a part of the family of God. And although we recognize that in our own families, our own personal families, that like this story in 2 Samuel chapter 13, sometimes our families can go through some really dark and difficult situations. Sometimes we have to deal with those unexpected blows in the family. But I pray, Lord, that you would give us the strength and the courage when going through those moments, that we can learn from this story of David and Absalom in how they dealt with it, that we avoid just sweeping the problem under the carpet, but that we try to deal with the issue by seeking you for the answer, by looking to you, knowing that our help comes from you, and that you will give us the strength and the courage, the wisdom and the knowledge to be able to deal with these problems in our families and friendships. So I pray now this morning that if anyone is struggling in the family with issues that are hard to deal with, I pray that you might give them wisdom and understanding and the strength to be able to endure and to bring a better solution and resolution to those problems. So we thank you now. We look to you and we thank you that we are part of the family of God. So we give your name the praise, the glory, and the honor now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.